This morning, I want to continue the series of message on the book of Daniel. We will start from chapter 2, verse 31 to 49. If you have your Bible, would you please open to the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, which is behind the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2, verse 31 to 49. If you find that, would you please stand and I read God's word to you. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 31 to 49. This is the word of God. You look, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken into pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toe were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united, any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to other people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor, and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, and the revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Please be seated. This is the word of God. 2 weeks ago, we start with the first half of the chapter, chapter 2, with this daunting situation. The sermon's entitled, "When the Bottom Falls Out." And we learned that two characters was contrasted in this historical account, Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. Both of them had their bottom fell out. One was facing a daunting dream that has great implication and bother and troublesome. Trouble him, bother him for days that he lost sleep. And furthermore, I think when he dreamt of that dream, he probably has some idea that probably alluding to something related to me. Daniel, on the other hand, also had his bottom fell out when King Nebuchadnezzar decided to put forth an impossible test to his magicians, wise men in his kingdom, telling them, "You come interpret the dream for me, but in order to verify your authenticity, tell me what I dream, and then give me the interpretation." None of them can do that. And so therefore, in anger and rage, he sent forth a decree and saying that, "Let's cut them into pieces. All these wise men and magicians, we spent years of training of them. They could not do anything." So the death warrant went out, and Daniel was under that death warrant. He prayed to God in a daunting time. And it revealed it to us that today, in today's scripture, that God spoke through him. On March 2005, one of a sunny day, a young mother, single mom, in Atlanta, she already in deep trouble. She was a drug addict, addicted to crystal meth. She was a single mom. She lost her husband because of drug. Her husband addicted to drug heroin and died not long ago. And as a result, she ended up as a single mom, but because of her drug addict habit, she lost custody of her only daughter. Her life already heading toward destruction, heading toward disaster. She was thinking, how much worse could it get? And on that March morning, something happened to her. A four-time killer invaded her home, fleeing the police pursuit and hold her hostage. She was in a situation couldn't be worse. Now today, we look at the second half of the chapter 2 of Daniel, related to the dream. In this dream, Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream about a statue. A statue, the head was made by gold, the chest silver, the belly bronze, and the thigh and the legs iron, and the feet, the leg and the feet are iron, and the feet was iron and clay mixture. The word stature is actually equivalent to idol. It's not a monument. It's not an art piece of object, particularly in ancient Near Middle East culture. It is something that people bow to and worship. But the trouble part was not the statue itself, but rather is all of a sudden there was a piece of rock, stone, that was not made by human hand, all of a sudden crushed toward the statue and caused it to topple. When it toppled, the gold head, the silver chest, the bronze belly, and the iron thighs and legs and feet all tumble down and break into pieces. And what Daniel revealed in this dream was when it break into pieces, they are like chaff being blown away by the wind. But yet, that piece of rock continued to grow like a mountain and fill out the whole earth. That was the dream that has been troubling King Nebuchadnezzar. And furthermore, Daniel explained it to him, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, you are the golden head. You are the golden head of that statue. And the material follow underneath the golden head is the succeeding kingdoms that's going to come after you." That was a dream that was given. And in the dream, that statue representing earthly kingdoms, starting with the kingdom of Babylon. Now, if you read different commentaries coming from different theological preference and orientation, you will come across different interpretation as what sort of kingdom will be ascribed particularly to different materials. I don't want to take you into those details, but I think here it's very clear, no matter which kind of interpretation that you subscribe to, these material and that stature represent and stand for earthly kingdom. In other words, it's standing for human achievement. It stands for King Nebuchadnezzar, his marvelous achievement. Last time I remember, you probably still remember, I show you a picture of the entrance, one of the entrance gate of the city of Babylon, with all these blue turquoise color bricks and city wall 90 feet high. It's all part of the achievement of King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a young ruler, and in a very short period of time in his life, he established Neo-Babylonian Empire, 600 BC, that time frame. And the glory of that kingdom, the wealth and the power and the influence of that kingdom exceeds all his predecessor. In such a short period of time, he rise up to power 25 years ago, merely 25 years ago, as one of the general under his father's rule. And he fought battles with great power, great leadership, great wisdom. He won decisive power battles. He gained control not only in the Babylonian area, but also extend his influence and stretching his hand down towards south and reaching out to Egyptians. All within 25 years of time. He established that. He had all sort of reason and justification to be proud of himself. He has all sort of rights to be proud of himself and look at his achievement. And later on in the following chapter, you know that he walked around in his palace and look at the city. He's so proud of what he can achieve. He indeed was a great man with great power, great leadership, great wisdom. But this dream troubled him. Because this dream basically communicates a message that the thing that you rely upon, that the thing that you trust, that the thing that you put all your egg into that basket, your own hands, your own achievement, your own wisdom, and your own strength, will not last. And instead, there's going to be a piece of rock, very humble material. Cannot be compared with gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Will grow, will take over, will overwhelm, will crush all the thing that you rely upon. God will crush all earthly kingdoms and replace with his kingdom. No matter how much you achieve, no matter how proud you feel about yourself, the message in the dream is God will crush it all because those are not reliable. Those will not last forever. Those will not be dependable. God's sovereignty is over human history. Neo-Babylonian Empire rise. But before that, there were different empires before Babylonian Empire. And after Babylonian Empire, there will be more empires to come. History continues to go on. And sometimes we will probably feel like Daniel and his friends being swept in the historical torrent. Being swept, and that's not only just said about the history, but also about things going around in our lives. We feel powerless. We feel out of control. But here, the dream tells us, although it is daunting, kingdom arise and kingdom falls, but God's kingdom will prevail. And he will see that to the end. That will be his promise. That will be his plan. That will be his design. He will direct human history. Human history, however it turns, however it changes, it will not escape the hand of the sovereign God. God's sovereignty dictates human history. Therefore, our hope and confidence rests upon God's sovereignty. In this dream, it communicates to King Nebuchadnezzar, yes, you might feel like you are on top of the world. It also communicates to Daniel, yes, you might feel like you are in the bottom of the pit. That you are one of those little insignificant individuals being swept by the current, by the tidal wave. No matter how hard you swim, it carries you to that direction that you have no control over. And it seems to be daunting. It seems to be hopeless. But yet, through this dream, God demonstrated that he is in control of, in the greatest scale of human history. The kingdom comes and kingdom goes, but his kingdom will establish and will last forevermore. What do we invest our hope and confidence in? Or maybe more precisely, what is your stature? What do you rely upon? And especially in daunting time, in challenging time, what do you rely upon? What do you put your hope in? Where you put your hope in is the thing or the person that you worship in difficult time. Therefore, it has no better time for us to refocus and renew our trust and confidence in God and in God alone. March 2005, that morning, that young single mom, her name was Ashley Smith. When the intruder, the four-time killer by the name Brian Nichols, broke into her apartment, held her hostage, she was at the middle of a hopeless situation. Crystal meth has been destroying her teeth, her health, her life, her family. She's at the brink of losing everything. Not too long before that morning, someone gave her a book, The Purpose-Driven Life. She started reading that. It was at the beginning of her journey to go back to God. And then this killer broke into her apartment, held her hostage. She did not know whether she would survive that day. She had been praying to God that, God, would you please save me? Would you please lift me up from drug addiction? Because she has been struggling with that drug habit, in and out, in and out. Win a couple of days, lose a couple of weeks, fall back into the habit, fall back into the addictive cycle, try to come out clean for a short period of time, and fall back to that cycle again. Even that struggle didn't bring her hope. And she thought of her daughter that she missed so much. And now, a killer holding a gun against my head. I could die in any minute. Things could not get worse. But you know what? In chapter 2, there is good news. The good news not only lies on God who is the one that give hope and confidence because he's sovereign, but also see what he did to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar could be the most cruel man on earth in that time. Look at how he treated his wise men and magicians, enchanters, astrologers. If you cannot tell me the dream, I'm going to cut you into pieces and turn your houses into rubble. In any sense, this is a violent man. This is an unreasonable man. This is a dictator. This is a horrible individual. Killing to him is a very normal thing. He has no regard of human life, the value of human life. He took away people's lives at his pleasure, at his pleasure. And in the couple of first beginning chapters in the book of Daniel, you see that his emotions swings. Imagine you have a friend like that. It's already difficult. Can you imagine your office manager like that? Can you imagine your supervisor like that? It makes life almost impossible. The Chinese has an idiom saying that to serve a king is like to serve a tiger. You don't know when will it roar and bite on you. Trembling. He's one of the worst individuals that people can know. But yet, God gave him a dream, and in the interpretation of the dream, Daniel particularly said, O King of Kings, you old Nebuchadnezzar, you are King of Kings. And God give you this dream is to tell you what's going to happen in the future. Oftentimes we read that as like God is flushing his muscle and showing that you think you are so good, great. Look at me. I'm much more powerful than you. But if we think a little bit deeper into this text, we actually can feel and also almost can touch God's heart. A cruel dictator, murderer. Yet God reach out to him and tell him my plan in the future. And I warned you that you are the golden head. The golden head will fall down, break into pieces, like chaff being blown away by wind, and my kingdom will replace all this. What is that message? That message is an invitation to repent. It's an invitation to reach out to this cruel king, the most impossible person on earth at that time. To reach out to him and tell him, I have a plan. I am sovereign. And I give you the gift as a king, because Daniel explained it to him very clearly. And when Daniel addressed to King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, O king, you are King of Kings. That your achievement, all the people and the bees in the field and the birds in the air, God gave you dominion and rule over them. But Nebuchadnezzar, in his own ignorance and his own self-centeredness and pride, he saw all these things as his personal achievement, the showcase, the trophy of his own strength. And he relied upon those things. And he thought, I am so great. But Daniel said, yes, you are King of Kings. In no way Daniel is scolding or devaluing the king. But he reminded him, all you achieve is God's grace and God's gift towards you. He gave you dominion. There is a purpose. There is a purpose that God gave you those under your hand, under your dominion. And God gave you a dream to warn you, you are heading toward a path of self-destruction. Repent. If you turn around, had you turned around, that the gift of God being given to you will be used for the glory of the Creator. It is a message of grace. It is a message of compassion that God reached out to this, the most unworthy human being on earth at that time, and allow him to see what's coming in the future, or with the purpose of drawing him back to God's plan, to God's love, to God's way or path. On that March 2005 morning, Ashley Smith was praying that to God, before that happened, God, would you please deliver me from my drug addiction. When Brian Nichol broke into her apartment, held her hostage, he realized that she was reading that book. He asked her, can you read part of it to me? So Ashley Smith read part of the book. It's related to God's purpose in his people's life. That started a conversation. And what was that conversation? That conversation was Brian Smith asked the question, do you think that God has purpose in my life? Ashley Smith replied, yes. Well, even though we don't know, God has a purpose in your life. It started a conversation, and later on, couples, months later, in an interview. The interview entitled, An Angel Sent from God. A daunting situation. The situation is two sinners. One with hands of other people's blood. The other one at the brink of destruction because of drug addicts, losing her family, lost her husband. These two individuals in God's sovereignty brought together on that morning. It looks like there's nothing good will come out of it. It looks like that the situation can turn worse. But yet, if you still remember what happened, Ashley Smith was able to talk about her faith, the little growing faith, to Brian Nichols. And Ashley Smith later on believed that there was a purpose that God allowed that happen on that morning. She said, because of that, I shake off my drug addict habit. And God has a purpose for Brian Nichols, that Ashley Smith was able to convince him to give up and turn himself to the police. Two lives profoundly entangled in sin had a miraculous turnaround on that morning. My dear brothers and sisters, chapter 2 of the book of Daniel urge us, cry out to us, screaming at our face, that in difficult time, our hope and confidence is not of this earth, nor of our wisdom and wit. It's not on the system, it's not on any political system, economic system, or any institute, but rather on God, the sovereign God, and the compassion God, on Him alone. We as Christians have hope and confidence, not as a merit of our willpower, summoning our patience and endurance in difficult time, and let me brave through this storm. Our reliance not even upon that willpower and determination. Because that determination has to rest upon God, who is sovereign and also who is compassionate. We have to rest our hope and confidence on Him and on Him alone. I know there's a cloud hover over your heart and your mind of the recent things that happened. I want to encourage you. We just sung the song, Christ is the Rock. Christ came as the Rock. And He urged us that the wise will build his house upon the rock rather than on sandy ground. And that rock is revealed in chapter 2 of Daniel. That is the kingdom of God, which is actually alluding to Christ Jesus himself. Because without Christ, there's no kingdom of God. He is the stone. He is the stone that the builder despised. But yet, it will grow. People will stumble upon that. But people who trust on him will build his house on the solid foundation. There is no better time for you and me to worship Christ Jesus than right now. There's no better time for you and me to invest our hope and confidence and trust in Christ Jesus than now. If you are disheartened, my dear brothers and sisters, take heart, because our God is an awesome God. He is good. He is sovereign, and also he's compassionate. Let's bow and pray. Father, this morning may you shatter all our idols and replace with the rock, the ancient foundation. Our hope and confidence rests upon you, O Lord Jesus. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.